Paul. Today I have the privilege of sharing God's word with the congregation. Before I share God's word, let's close our eyes and let's close our eyes and we'll see, open with a word of prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a great privilege and honor, Lord, to come into your house and honor you by looking at your word this morning. Even as I speak from your word, Lord, empower me by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Put gracious words in my mouth, Lord. Let this message and these truths be as real to me, Lord, as it would be to the congregation, Lord, and help us all to look upwards, Lord, as we receive the truth of your word. And as we receive it also, help us, Lord, to be obedient to what we receive and go out, Lord, out of this place, Lord, desiring to walk in your ways and being a light to this world. Amen. We ask this all in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As we spend time in God's word this morning, I would like to share today from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We'll read from verses 3 to 21. I'll read them and then we'll go into the message itself. So if we can all open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 3 to 21. There's some church Bibles at the back if you would like. Yeah. Can you get an Andrew church Bible from the back, please? And if somebody can help me with the page number also, yeah, for the church Bible. Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good.
But just slow down.
Okay.
All right. That's pretty good, girl.
I do. I'll bring mine. Thank
you. 2 Chronicles 26, chapter 26, verses 3 to 21. I'll start with chapter 26, verse 3. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Verse 6. Now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gurbal and the Meunites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress, and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile field, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions, according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the official under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. The total number of the heads of the thousands of valiant warriors was 2,600. Under their direction was an elite army of 307,500, who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. In Jerusalem he made engines of war, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. Verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to God, to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. Verses 26 to 31. It's a long passage, and going verse by verse may be a little bit difficult, so our focus will be from verses 16 to 20. Before we get into the understanding the Word of God, I just wanted to go over. There's an ancient Indonesian fable. It tells about a turtle. You know what a turtle is, right? It's a little tortoise. Okay. It tells about this turtle that could fly. Has anybody seen a turtle that flies? No one has seen a turtle fly. This is very interesting. And the way this turtle would fly was, he would take a stick and he would hold the stick in his mouth, and two geese would hold the stick at the two ends and would fly up. And when the geese would fly up, the turtle would also fly into the blue skies. And this was his crowning achievement, the turtle's crowning achievement. One day while the turtle was flying in the blue skies, and he heard a bunch of onlookers down on the ground, and they looked up and they said, "Aren't these geese brilliant in the way they are getting the turtle to fly?" Unfortunately, when the turtle heard this, the ugly head of pride immediately reared up in his heart, and he opened his mouth and he said, "It was my idea." And guess what happened when he opened his mouth? Exactly. He lost his grip and he fell right down to the ground. And the Proverbs 16:18 became a reality for this turtle. It says, I'll read it for you. Maybe you don't need to return it, because we'll be going to Proverbs quite a bit. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. For the turtle, this became a reality. His haughty heart gave him a fall, and he fell down right from the skies down to the earth." So this little illustration takes us into the truth of God's word. As we go into the narration of Uzziah from 2 Chronicles 26:3-19, we will see how pride subtly rears its ugly head in a person's life. And when pride comes into a person's heart, you can see how it destroys that individual person. And the title of this message that I have written today is "The Ugly Head of Pride." This is the ugly head of pride. This is an area which I have struggled personally, and I can say with a modicum of assurity that every individual in this room must be struggling with this area in their lives, no matter how much we say. But this is one area that we cannot get over. And pride is like an ever-present danger. It is lurking in the corners, nooks of our heart, of our mind. And what it does is it slowly sleeps and creeps into your body and in your life. And eventually it gets a hold of you completely. If you ever picture a tiger, have you seen a tiger stalking its prey? And suddenly it will pounce upon its prey. And when it holds its prey, it holds its prey with a death hold. And it will simply maul that prey. It will just twist it and shake it like a rag doll. And it doesn't matter how big the prey is. The prey can be twice the size, but that tiger will simply maul it and will not let go of that prey until it has choked it and completely destroyed it. That is the same picture that pride has. Pride is suffocating, and it will eventually lead to our destruction. So the Bible has much to say about pride. If you look at it, I mean, there's so much topic, and almost always pride has a negative connotation towards it. I mean, there are some positive areas also where God talks about the pride of Israel and all, but I'm not going to focus upon that particular aspect. But pride has always had a negative connotation, and it is considered to be a sin that is hated by God. Before we study the life of Uzziah, I just wanted to go over what Webster or the secular world defines pride as. Pride is defined as an excessive self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office. And it manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. A picture of pride is so ugly that when we look at it, it should bring into us a contempt for pride, but unfortunately it does not. We look at pride as something very beautiful. And as we look at Uzziah's behavior, we'll see all of these issues coming up in his own individual life. Uzziah was the 10th king of Judah, and if you look at the line of Judah up to that point, there's also a queen involved in that. And if Judah, most of you know, is the southern kingdom of the divided Israel, and the kings of Judah were relatively better than Israel, because the kings of Israel were completely gone cases. And in case of the kings of Judah, you would go through the cycle of obedience and disobedience. And when they were obedient, they were very prosperous. When they were disobedient, they were judged by God. And when they repented, they were brought back into prosperity. So as we go through these verses from Uzziah's life, we'll see a similar pattern in his life. And we'll see his early life, and then we'll go on to verses 16 to 20, where we'll spend more time. Uzziah, what does his main name mean? Oh, Uzziah also went by the name of Azariah, and he was the son of Amaziah. Uzziah means Lord is my strength, and Azariah means the Lord has helped. The names are very aptly put for Uzziah. If you look at, in both the cases, his early life depicted God being his strength and God being his helper. And verses 1 through 16, when we go through this very quickly, we will see that pattern coming out through that to the name of it. Uzziah became a king at a very young age. He was only 16 years old, and he reigned 52 years. That's a long time, 52 years. I haven't even lived that many years in my life, so I will not even be able to fathom that. But 52 years is a long time that he lived, and during that during his lifetime, he was very productive and he had a very prosperous life. He had a sequence of successes in his life. His life was a bunch of accomplishments and achievements. But before we go into the accomplishments and achievements of Uzziah, I would like to go to verses 4 and 5. So if we go to 26 verses 4 and 5, it says, "For he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to see God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him." Wonderful truth tucked in these two passages about his behavior with God. And the result of that behavior led to his successes. It says in verse 4, "He did right in the sight of the Lord." Basically, his heart wanted to do what was right in the sight of the Lord. He was aligned with God's word and God's law. He continued to see God in verse 5, and because of that, God prospered him. And one thing that is mentioned over here, it talks about the days of Zechariah, who had understanding. It's an unknown prophet. Nobody really knows about him, and this is not the Zechariah of the Old Testament and all the historical Zechariah, but he was an unknown prophet. But this prophet, we don't know the influence he had in Azariah's early life, but definitely the influence that this prophet had in giving him godly instruction may have also led to him seeking the Lord and trusting in the Lord and doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. So if you look at his early life, it was embedded and set upon the solid foundation of seeking the Lord and doing what was right in the sight of the Lord and looking forward to godly instruction. So when those things were in his life, he was prosperous and God prospered him abundantly. So if you look up from verses 6 through 16, you'll see God's hand in his life, God's sustaining him, God leading him into triumph. I'll just go over his successes very quickly, because there are a lot of verses over here, and if you go verse by verse, we will spending a lot of time in it. So if you look at it in verse 6, it says he met with immediate triumph by building Eloth and restoring it to Judah. Okay, so immediately, as soon as he became king, 16, 17, maybe 18, he had this immediate victory. He was victorious in his wars against the Philistines, the Arabians, and the Meunites. And as it says in the Bible in verse 7, it says God helped him. So God's hand of blessing and help was there even in these wars against these people. he received tributes from the Ammonites. So basically, he was the Ammonites were in subjection to him. He was very strong, and his fame spread throughout Egypt. It says in this thing, his fame extended to the borders of Egypt, for he became very strong in verse 8. And then he prospered with much livestock and agriculture. He was a man of the soil, and he loved the soil, but God gave him much livestock, much agriculture. So that was the measure of success or richness in those days. And he had a lot of that. He had a mighty army. If you look at it, there were 307,500 men who could fight, and above them were 2,600 warriors who would direct them as commanders. They were elite soldiers who would fight for him on the battlefront and give him the victories. He had many weapons, and you can look at it, he was technologically advanced also. He developed these engines of war that he put on the towers that could shoot rocks and stones and arrows and everything else. So much, this man had so much for him. This is truly a very impressive list. And through it all, God's hand of blessing was on him. And wonderfully, it says in verse 15 in the latter half, it says, "Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong." God marvelously helped him. God made him strong. God gave him the fame. His fame spread far and wide. It was not just known in that little region of Israel, which is almost 90 or 100 miles in its strip and not very long in its breadth. His fame spread throughout the world, the known world at that time. And then we come to verse 16, which is what our passage and what our discussion is going to be about this time. It's a very sad state of affairs when we go from verse 15 to verse 16. It says in verse 16, "But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly." The first thought that comes out of this passage is pride comes with success. You look at this man, he had so much success, he had achieved so much in his life, but pride now rears its ugly head in his life. God made him strong, God gave him much, but his heart became strong. What resulted in the dramatic change of events? What prompted this change? The man was at the top of the world. What caused him to change? Why did he do this? That is a question that should be at the back of our heads as we are reading this passage. The Bible does not clearly tell us why he became proud, but I will go on over here to conjecture as to why this happened. And I feel very strongly about it, that if you look at verse 15 is where it all started. "Hence his fame spread afar." Uzziah's fame started to spread far and wide as Uzziah is becoming popular. He is beginning to feed upon the accolades he's getting. He is beginning to feed upon the praises he's getting. He is beginning to believe that his achievements are the work of his own hand. It is achieved by his own strength, not by God. He is beginning to feed on the flattery of people. God has now taken a back seat in his life. And I would go so far as to even venture to say that he was not even seeking godly counsel. Whereas in verse 5, Zechariah is mentioned as a prophet in his life. Now there's no mention of any prophets or any godly counsel around him. So this man now has truly believed that success is the work of our own hands. And when we believe all the good things people say about us, we will become prideful. And we've got to be very careful how we deal with even people, like flattery. And when we shower praises upon people when they are going through success, it could lead to their downfall also. So we've got to be careful. But when success comes into our life, success eventually makes us recognize that we are in control. We are the masters of our life. We are the masters of our destiny. And when we become the masters of our destiny, God will take the second seat. He will become a backbencher. We will become in the forefront.
Yes.
So pride comes with success, with much success. And when pride comes with much success, it leads to the next step, which is rebellion to God. Because now God has taken the second best seat, we now go into rebellion with God. So pride takes us into rebellion with God. That's the second point that we are going to look at. If we turn to verse 16 itself, it says, And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Seemingly an innocent act, Uzziah was trying to express his desire, his devotion to God. He says, I want to go and burn the incense. On the surface of it, we would not look at it very differently. But God had set certain boundaries within which people had to come and worship him. I'd like to go to Numbers 18:7. In Numbers 18:7, it says, but you and your sons, that is Aaron and his sons, with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything concerning the altar and inside the veil, and you are to perform service. I am giving you the priesthood as a bestowed service, but the outsider who come near shall be put to death. So Uzziah knew that this law did exist, and he knew God's word in this context. But Uzziah, now he has gained so much fame, so much prosperity, so much success. He cannot see himself being under subjection of the priesthood. He wants to usurp the role of the priesthood. He wants to take that, and he wants to be in prominence. In his mind, he is better than the priest. How come the priests are doing this? Why am I not being over there? So, the pride makes even the dead man wants to be in the forefront. So, in this case, Uzziah wants to be in the forefront. He wants to be above these priests. He wants to take on the role of the priesthood, and in thus doing, he wants to show that he is superior to the priestly roles over there, and. By doing this, he is expressing utter rebellion to God's word. He is taking his own power and he's saying, I want to exalt myself above God's law. We sang the Bible stands and we are under subjection of the Bible, or under God's truth. He wanted to consider himself above God's law. He wanted to assume that his power was above God's power as given through God's word. And if you look at it in verse 5, he sought God, but now he does not see God's power as absolutely necessary for his leadership. He wants to be above. And as I was looking at these verses, I was reminded of the fall of Satan or Lucifer. He wanted to elevate himself. So if we can open our Bibles to Ezekiel 28:12-15, and then I would go from Isaiah 12-14. I just want to read this so that we can understand what pride does. Ezekiel 28:12-15. It says, you have the seal. Ezekiel 28:12. You have the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx and the jasper, the lapis, lazuli, the turquoise and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You are the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Then if we turn our Bibles to Isaiah 14:12-14. It says, Isaiah 14:12-14, it says, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, or Lucifer, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The picture of pride of Satan is similar to what Uzziah also depicted. He was not satisfied with what he had, and he wanted even more power. He wanted more power that rebelled against God and His law. Pride always brings us into rebellion with God. And unfortunately, when rebellion comes into our heart, our eyes are blinded. Our eyes are blinded to godly counsel and truth and correction. And what the next point which I wanted to bring is pride refuses to accept godly counsel and correction.
Yeah.
If you look at verses 17 to and 18, then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah, the king, and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. So, if you look at these two verses, he is now getting correction. He's being corrected for his ways, and he's getting counsel from the priest to stop doing it. Before we look at Uzziah's action, I would just like to focus on one small aspect over here. He says, "Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men." The Bible talks about these men as valiant men. Look at it, there are 81 people who are confronting Uzziah at this time. There's a lot of people. But you recognize that they are going in front of a king who has power, who is very strong at this time. And it must have taken a lot of courage for these men to go and stand in front of him at this point of time, because now they are standing in opposition to him. They could have laid down in the tracks and said, "Okay, king is doing it, no matter, no problem, let him continue to do it." And if they had sided with him, most probably they would have gotten rewards also. But now they are taking their own life in their own hand, recognizing that the power of the king would be there. And when they were standing in opposition to him, he might have even killed them for all that mattered. But they wanted to do what was right according to God's word. I don't know about the rest of the life of these people, but just this one instance is showing that they wanted to do what was right in God's word rather than abet the king in his disobedience. Now, I don't know their heart. They may have been doing it because they were being superseded by Uzziah. That may also be a situation over there, but I will just go by what it says over here. The Bible talks about them as valiant men, and there must have been a reason why they're calling them valiant men, because they went out there and this meant a lot to confront a king who was so powerful and strong. Now, you look at Uzziah's lifestyle itself. Uzziah was completely blinded at this point of time. Instead of becoming repentant, he became angry. It says, the word is so strong. It comes out so strongly. It says, but Uzziah, with a censer in his hand, was enraged, full of anger. Not just angry, but full of anger. His entire being was full of anger. And that anger was being expressed by the incense that he was holding in the sea. He was not even willing to let go of it. He still wanted to go ahead with the action. So, when he had this power in his hand, he just did not want to listen. He considered the priests just to be lackeys or pawns in his hand. As long as the priests continued to do whatever he wanted, he was okay. But the moment they tried to correct him, he could not stand it. His pride would not let him to do that. And even though there was he had the opportunity to repent at this point of time, even the fear of punishment could not take away his blindness. And the reason why I say that is when you go back to Numbers 18:7, it says in Numbers 18:7, "But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Mm-hmm. There was a consequence of worshipping in the wrong way. And if you look at the sin of the wrong incense also, which was bought in earlier on in Exodus, the fire comes down and the two people die over there. Even that fear was not in his heart. He just wanted to carry on with his action, and that is what a proud person does. it simply blinds us to our sinful condition, and we are not willing to take correction. It takes us to a point where it's always my way or the highway. So pride does that to us, and it blinds us. Even though we listen to correction, even though we get advice from God, godly people, we just do not want to listen to it. And interestingly enough, when I brought the word highway, it brought to me a very interesting story. And this is a personal incident that occurred in my own life. And I know many of the men in this room will relate to it. I have to. I have to. We were. Yeah. So anyway, it was a little different from road rage, but anyway, we were going on a road in Michigan near Auburn Hills, and I was going in one car, and my brother-in-law was following me in the other car, and it was a cold, dark, wintry night, and guess what? We wanted to get to the highway. Now, to connect to the highway, in my mind, I needed to go east, and in my wife's mind, we needed to go south, and she kept on telling me, let's go and ask someone directions. Okay, she kept on asking me to ask directions, but my pride led me north. So I did not even go east, I did not even go south, my pride led me north. And we drove almost 45 minutes, and guess where we landed up? We landed up in a dirt road in nowhere land. It was just farmland, nothing for miles and miles. So guess what, we turned around on the snowy road and we came back, and my brother-in-law also had to suffer along with us. This is a way. Very minor incident. I mean, this is not a major incident, but this is what pride does to us. We simply will not want to listen to what people tell us. And yeah,
we all like that. I don't know.
That's right. But we refuse to accept the revealed word of God. I mean, this is just a personal incident, but we refuse to accept the revealed word of God, and we delight in our own strength. We delight that we want to make the decision, and this eventually leads to heartaches, not only for us, but also for our loved ones.
Yes.
Everybody around us are affected by it. So I'd like to read Proverbs 29:23 at this time. If you can open our Bibles to 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Unfortunately, that's what happens to a man when he has pride. It will just bring him down. It will bring him to the lowest depth, and that's what happens. We will not listen to counsel. We will not listen to correction. We will not listen to anything, but we will want to do what our own desires are. And what happens when all of that occurs? Is the fourth point of this story, is pride has its consequence. God in his mercy may not do it right away, but pride will have its consequence. And how it touches us, we look at the life of Uzziah, but in our own individual lives, we don't know how it will touch, but it will eventually touch us. I'd like to read from verses 18, the second half. I stopped at the first half, but now as we go into the word, it says, 19, second half, it says, and while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. Now you look at God's judgment on Uzziah. It was immediate. While he was still angry, while the anger was still in his heart, the incense was still in his hand, God struck him. And God struck him with leprosy. But God in his mercy did not kill him, because his word said he should have died, but he did not die at that time. God mercifully just gave him leprosy at that point of time, and still had gave him the opportunity to repent, or at least change his life. But Uzziah face God's judgment in physical, but not only that, the person Uzziah, he did not want to be under the subjection of the priest, right? He wanted to take the incense himself. And now guess what has happened to him? When he's leprous, he has to follow all the Levitical laws of leprosy, and those laws put him under direct subjection of the priest. So now the person who wanted to exalt himself above and wanted to take the role of the priest is now under the complete authority of the priest. And finally, the man who was so powerful, whose fame was spread all about over the world, it says he was led away and he lived in a house in verse 21, cut off from the house of the Lord and cut off from the world. And his son began ruling in his place. The man who had so much wealth, who had so much success, who had so much prosperity, he's confined to singleness. So if you look at God's judgment and how God treats this pride that is within him, the judgment is final, and the thing that he was proud of, everything was shattered down bit by bit. So just hewn away like a tree, tap, tap, non-stop. And he who was a tall, proud tree now has become a stump in the ground. And that's in essence what his life was now. It was just a hollow shell. He was a hollow shell of the man that he once was. And if you look at the Bible continuously says there is consequence to pride. It tells us again and again, do not walk in the ways of pride. Do not walk in prideful ways. I'll read a few verses so you understand what God's word says about the consequence of pride. You don't need to turn to those verses because I'll be going through several verses. But in Job 20 verses 6 to 7 it says, though the pride of the godless person reaches to the heavens and his head touches the clouds, he will perish forever like his own dung. Those who have seen him will say, where is he? Isaiah 2:17 says, the pride of man will be humbled and the loftiness of men will be abased. Proverbs 29:23, which we read earlier on, it says, a man's pride will bring him low. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes dishonor. Then we read earlier on from Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So pride has its consequence, and pride's consequence is fall. What we are proud of will be taken away slowly and will completely away. So if you looked at the life of Uzziah this morning, there are four things that come out very clearly to us. Number one is pride comes at the expense, comes with much success. Then we learned that pride results in rebellion with God. Then we learned that pride results refuses to accept godly correction and counsel. And finally, we've seen that pride has its consequence. Uzziah's life should be a strong warning to each and every one of us. Whenever we believe that we are so important that we do not need to be held accountable to what we are doing or what we say, or that we refuse to obey God in a given area, we are headed for a fall. Pride will eventually lead us to that fall. We will experience discipline in our life. We may, I'm not saying it will always happen in that way, but we should expect to experience that that kind of fall within us. We should be very, very cautious about our own lifestyle and how pride is entering into our life. I'd like to read from Jonathan Edwards. He was a very famous 18th century preacher. He lived from 1704 to 1750, something like that. He describes pride in the following words. He says, pride is the worst viper in the heart. You know, viper is a snake, right? And it's poison, it's deadly. It lies lowest of all in the foundation of the whole building of sin. Of all lusts, it is the most secret, deceitful, and unsearchable in its ways of working. It is ready to mix with everything. Nothing is so hateful to God, contrary to the spirit of the gospel, or of so dangerous consequence. There's not one sin that does so much to let the devil into the hearts of the saints and expose them to his delusions than pride. Pride is the gateway to Satan. And pride resides within the recesses of our heart. We may have a veneer of self-righteousness or righteousness, but pride, when it is within us, it slowly eats us and consumes us, and it then eventually opens the way to Satan's temptations. And we fall prey to that, even as the illustration I gave to you earlier on about the tiger on its prey. That kind of illustration keeps coming back to us. Many times we as Christians, we start our walk well with the Lord. We are very enthusiastic. Our focus is set on God, just like Uzziah. Okay, his focus was on God. He was seeking God. He was trusting God, listening to godly counsel. But then as time goes on, pride suddenly creeps in. It doesn't come in suddenly. It won't come in one day you turn on the light switch, pride is in my heart. Pride is continuously building within us. And when pride builds in within us, eventually it will raise its ugly head and it will blind us to God's ways. And it will make us actually believe that we are better than God and His Word. What is in our heart is better than what God has prescribed in His Word. And what it does is it tells us all about me, and it isolates us from God. And our devotion to God reduces. And that is why God hates pride. That is one sin that God hates, literally hates. He hates pride. He hates the prideful man. He hates the boastful heart. He wants us to lead a life that is bereft of pride. And this morning, I'd just like to share a few thoughts very quickly about how do we know that pride is rearing its ugly head in our lives. I'll just give certain behaviors that maybe, the reason I put those behaviors are because these behaviors are real in my life. Okay, that's why I'm writing these down. They may not be the same for you, and this is not a catch-all, okay? There are many, many more behaviors. But these are just some of the behaviors that says that pride is creeping into your life if there is arrogance, if there is self-promotion or selfish ambition, if there's a lack of giving to God and others, if there's a selfish attitude in general, if there's a refusal to listen to advice of others, if there's a lack of submission to those in authority, if it is focused on our own well-being, our position, our stature in society, if we are bragging about our accomplishments, if we are lacking in humility for God and others, if we have a false sense of humility when we are receiving a gift or a compliment, and if we esteem our own race higher than others, these are just some of the areas. If we start seeing these things in our lives, the chances are very high that pride is creeping, is seeping within us. And soon, guess what? It is going to take a hold in your life. And when it takes a hold in your life, you will fall. Leonard Bernstein, the late conductor of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, was once asked to name the most difficult instrument to play. Without hesitation, he replied, "The second fiddle." I can get plenty of first violinists, but to find someone who can play the second fiddle with enthusiasm, that's a problem. Wow. And if we have no second fiddle, we have no harmony. We always want to be number one. And guess what? Our society promulgates this idea, this thought, that if you are not number one, you are nothing. Number two is not acceptable. Second in command is not acceptable. Second seat is not acceptable. And what is, it does glorify pride. Pride is glorified in our society, and unfortunately, pride is the destruction of the society also. Pride has been the destruction of many societies in the past. History shows us that those nations that were proud in their achievements, all fell down. And our nation is not far away from that. But what is the antithesis of pride? How do we overcome pride? Pride is only overcome by humility. That is the antithesis. That is the antidote. If pride is the viper, the venom of the viper, humility is the antidote that will take over that poison and just nullify it. And humility, how does humility come? Humility comes when we are fully bowing our knees to Jesus. There should be no other God in our life but Jesus Christ. And there's much to speak about humility and about everything else, but I would like to point out a message that Wayne preached on September 11th. If you do get a time, go over it. It talks about humility. It talks about how he talks through James. So if you get a chance, go through it. But I'll just give the highlights of that message and tell you what it means to be truly bowing our knees to Jesus. Number one is, we've got to be submitting to God. We've got to be drawing near to God. We've got to have genuine repentance and mourning over our sin. We've got to be renouncing our personal desires. And we've got to be following him in service to others. That is the overall context of humility and how humility can come within our heart. And James in verses chapter 4, verses 7 to 10 gives us a very beautiful picture of what it means to humble ourselves before the Lord, and which is the most important thing. We cannot overcome pride if we are not humble. Humble is the cornerstone. It is the rock that shatters the ugly head of pride. It breaks it in pieces into smithereens. If you have humility, that head of pride is gone from you. And if you have humility, it is the key that unlocks the door to genuine love. The love that is for others rather than self. The love that is agape, that is a sacrificial love that considers others better than yourself. So our desire should be to walk in humility, and we must pursue the words of Apostle Paul. If we open our Bibles to 1 Timothy 4:12. This is such a beautiful instruction that Paul gives to Timothy. He says, set an example for the believers, number one, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And when humility is there in each of those, guess what? Our example, not only to the believers, will be so great, but it will also be the same to the dying world around us who do not know Christ. This is the kind of example we need to set. So in conclusion, what I wanted to, as we looked at the life of Uzziah, there was much to learn, much to see. I just wanted to point out one thing, one verse which I read from another author. He says, pride puts me on display, whereas humility reveals Jesus and puts him on display. Whom do we want to put on display this morning? Do we want to put on the ugly head of pride, which looks ugly and acts ugly and is ugly? Whereas the humility that comes from Jesus Christ is the most beautiful thing, is pure in nature and is the shining light for the world. So with that, I conclude my message.